I'm going to bring us back to a couple of verses that we saw Sunday, but I want to come back to them and go a little bit deeper tonight, if I could, in Jeremiah chapter number 2. We mentioned Sunday, and I mentioned it again tonight. We are in election season. We have politicians who will say whatever is necessary to get elected. But the sad thing is, we have churches that will do the absolute same thing today. We have churches just to gain a crowd. And again, I believe part of the problem is we have misunderstood what the church is all about and what the church is for. The church is for the sheep, not the goats. I'm glad when the goats come, because the goats need to be saved and become sheep. But the church isn't for the goats. The church is for the sheep. And we have misunderstood that for quite some time. And because of that, we will say what needs to be said to get sheep and goats to come to church, and we call that church, and that's not church. The church is for the sheep. The church is for God's people to come together and be helped and to be edified and to be equipped, and it's not for the goats. But because of that, because of our misunderstanding, we have tried to make it palatable for the goats to come to church. I am thankful when I was 9 years old that someone confronted me with the truth of my sin. They didn't try to make sin look good. They confronted me with the truth of my sin. Now, by the way, I was confronted with the truth of my sin before I was 9 years old. I was confronted with the truth of my sin when I was at the age that I was able to understand. I don't know what age that was. I don't know if that was 2 or 3. I don't remember. But whenever I was able to understand, I was confronted with the truth of my sin. And at 5 years old, I knew I needed to be saved. And I went forward. I didn't get saved, but I knew that I needed to be saved. And I remember at 9 years old, sitting in a chapel service at our Christian school, and I remember the pastor confronting even us fourth graders at 9 years old with the truth of our sin and that we needed to be saved. Now, I'm thankful that my mom and dad, and I'm thankful that my pastor, I'm thankful that my school teachers and my Sunday school teachers did not try to make my sin palatable for me. They confronted me with my sin. Because a person will never be born again until they first see that they're lost and that they need to be born again, that they're spiritually dead, and that they need the new birth. You say, Pastor, why do you say all that? Well, I say all that because I want to bring us back to verse number 33 of Jeremiah 2 tonight. And I want to bring us a message entitled, "The Length is Perfect." The length is perfect. What I simply mean by that tonight is it doesn't need to be trimmed. It's not too long. It's just right. And I'm talking about the length of God's Word. God's Word does not need to be trimmed. By the way, there's a movement in our nation today to pervert many things. There's a movement in our nation to... You know what, let's just read the verse. Let's just read the verse tonight. Verse number 33, the Bible says, "Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these." He said, I didn't have to look very hard It was right there. I didn't find it by secret search. It was out in the open. But he says in verse number 33, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Now, by the way, this is not a new thing. Take your Bibles and hold your place there in Jeremiah 2. We're going to come back and we're just going to look a little bit at chapter number 2 again. But let's look at Jeremiah chapter number 36 real quickly, just by way of introduction tonight, if we could. We'll begin in verse number 21. Jeremiah chapter number 36, we'll begin in verse number 21. This was the problem in Jeremiah's day. We know that from Jeremiah 2. They had trimmed their ways, but it was even worse, if we could say it was even worse. It was comparable. We find it in Jeremiah 36. If they didn't like what God's Word said, then they just cut it out. The Bible says in verse number 21 that King Jehoiakim, God had spoken to Jeremiah, and Baruch had written it in a book, and they bring this roll, and it's read before King Jehoiakim. Verse number 21, so the king sent Jehudai to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elisha the scribe's chamber, and Jehudai read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. It came to pass that when Jehudai had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. Now, by the way, if I got up here tonight and did that with God's Word, I've seen a pastor do that before, but he had another book stuck on top of his Bible, and he went to passages like Hebrews 10, where it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, and he read that passage, and then he had another book on top of his Bible, and he took a knife and he tore a page out, and he said, some of y'all just need to tear that out of your Bibles. He said, because you don't believe it anyway. And everybody's like, okay, now if I did that for real tonight, if I took a pocket knife, a little toothpick knife tonight, and I started ripping pages out of God's holy word, you would be aghast tonight, wouldn't you? By the way, you should. You probably wouldn't let me finish the message. But the Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter number 36 and verse number 24, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. And there's Jehoiakim. He's hearing God's message. And by the way, let me ask you, why is he cutting it out? Why is he cutting it? Why is he taking a penknife and cutting it out? Because he doesn't like what he's hearing. He doesn't like the message that God has given to Jeremiah that's been written on the roll. He doesn't like that. So he just starts cutting it out. So this has happened all down throughout the ages. This isn't anything new. But we're sure doing it today. We might not take a knife and cut pages out of a Bible, but with what we believe today, that's exactly what we're doing. When churches can condone certain things, it's just as if you take a knife and cut the Word of God. When the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 that a bishop, a pastor, an overseer, a shepherd is to be the husband of one wife, there are people all over this nation who are just cutting that out. Well, I think I'm just as smart as any man, so I think I should be a pastor. By the way, it's not about who's smarter. You do know that, don't you? Because 9 times out of a 10 in a home, the female is always smarter than the male. And I don't say that to be funny. I say that to be serious. It's not about who's smarter. It's about God's structure. God has set up a structure. And we're just willy-nilly. We're just cutting it out. And here in Jeremiah chapter number 2, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, He comes to Judah and Israel as well. but specifically Judah in chapters 3 and 4, he begins to, and even up through a little bit in chapter 5, but in chapters 3 and 4, he begins to speak to Israel a little bit as well. But in chapter 2, he's speaking to Judah, he's speaking to Jerusalem, he's speaking to that southern kingdom, and he says, "Why trimmest thou thy way?" I want to submit to us tonight that the length is perfect. The length is perfect. Nothing needs to be cut. Nothing needs to be trimmed. If it's God's Word, let's just leave it like it is. We don't need to hem it. We don't need to pin it. We don't need to trim it. We just need to leave it like it is. I want to give you three words tonight. I want to help us a little bit. I want to help myself tonight. The length is perfect. Number one tonight, I want us to see the truth. I want us to see the truth. And I want us to see the truth, first of all, tonight about why they trimmed their way. What were they seeking at? Why would they do that? By the way, why would people do that today? Why would a church trim the Word of God? They're not cutting pages out of the Bible, but they don't preach on certain passages and they don't preach on certain subjects. Why would they do that? Somebody tell me, why would they do that? Okay, because their audience, they know that their audience doesn't want to hear that. And they know that if their audience doesn't want to hear it, if they do hear it, the audience may leave. And when the audience leaves, offerings leave. And when offerings leave, he may have to give up his multi-million dollar mansion. Right? You say pastors don't have multi-million dollar mansions. Yeah, they do. You say, "Pastor, is that wrong?" I don't know. I don't know. If it's a large church and they want to pay him that much, I can't say it's wrong. But there are pastors in Jackson who live in multi-million dollar homes. You say, "Pastor, no, they don't." Yeah, they do. My son sprays their yards. So I know. So the message is going to be trimmed. Instead of just simply saying, "You know what, the length is perfect, let's leave it there." Let's leave it there. Let's don't trim God's Word. Let me give you three words here. The truth. Why would they trim their way? Here's the truth tonight. This is a truth. Man longs to be loved. Right? All of us long to be loved. And if you were to say tonight that's not true, you're lying. Because everybody in this auditorium tonight longs to be loved. Longs to be accepted. Longs to know that everything's okay. They have that longing. The truth tonight is that man longs to be loved. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, God said about Adam, he said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." He made Eve. Man longs to be loved. Why do men fill their lives with drugs and alcohol and pornography? They do so because they're trying to fill a void that only the Lord Jesus Christ can possibly fill, because they're longing for something. The truth, first of all, three things real quickly. They were seeking attention. They were seeking approval. And they were seeking acceptance. They were seeking attention. They were seeking approval. And they were seeking acceptance. And by the way, every single one of us long for that, don't we? We long for that. But here's what they missed. And we miss it sometimes too. They missed the fact. because they're trimming their ways to try to get the approval of the heathen nations amongst whom they were living in Canaan. They were seeking their approval. They were seeking their acceptance when God told them, when you come into the land, you need to drive them out. They're seeking their acceptance. And what they had forgotten and what we forget sometimes is that we have the attention, we have the approval, we have the acceptance of the only one that we need all three of those from. And we just forget sometimes. Look, if you will, and I don't want to read all of this again because we looked at a lot of this Sunday morning and Sunday night, but look at the beginning of chapter number 2. Verse number 1 of the Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Verse number 7, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof." By the way, let me back up. I skipped verse number 3. "Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord." Verse number 7, "And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination." Verse 13, he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." You know what God was saying to Judah? I have everything that you need. I am everything that you need. But you traded me, the fountain of living waters, the cool, refreshing, pure waters, for that stagnant rainwater that just sits in a barrel. That's what he's talking about in verse 13 when he talks about a cistern. He says, you have hewn out a cistern, and it's not just any cistern, it's a broken cistern. He says, that can hold no water. The truth. They were seeking attention. They were seeking approval. And they were seeking acceptance. Look with me, if you would. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 31. By the way, every man longs for that. Every woman longs for that. But never, ever, ever forget, we already have that as Christians. We already have that in Jesus Christ. I don't have to have the acceptance of the world. I don't have to have the approval of the world. I don't have to have the attention of the world because I have all of that in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter number 31. Now, by the way, I understand that's hard to remember when you're in the midst of a lot of foolishness and nonsense, isn't it? Isn't it? When you want somebody to come by and put their arm around you and say, hey, everything's okay. And it doesn't happen. You know what you have to remember? He'll put his arm around you. He'll tell you everything's okay. And he'll tell you just stay faithful. Jeremiah chapter 31, look at verse number 3. The Bible said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an what? Everlasting what? Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Number one, the truth. The truth was they were seeking attention. They were seeking approval. Why would they trim their ways? Because they wanted approval. They wanted acceptance from these other nations. By the way, wasn't it back in Samuel, when the nation of Israel told Samuel, look, Samuel, you need to go find us a king because we want to be like all the other nations. They already had a king. God. Jehovah was their king. And boy, Samuel's heart was burdened and Samuel's heart was broken. And God came to Samuel and he said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. So they rejected me. Samuel, it'll be okay. They haven't rejected you. They rejected me. And God Almighty says, I have loved them with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So listen, when you stay true to God's Word and you have family or you have friends who do not approve and do not accept, you have a God in heaven who does. Listen, dear friend, when you're trying to raise your children according to God's Word and you have family members and you have friends and maybe even some people in the church who don't approve of what you're doing, listen, you have a God in heaven who approves if you're doing it according to the Word. You have a God in heaven who approves because it's His Word. Who else to be able to approve what we're doing if we're doing it according to the Word? Well, it's the author. Number one, we see the truth. They were seeking attention, approval, and acceptance. Number two, we see the trimming. The trimming. What were they trimming? Three things. Their ways. We have that in verse 33 of chapter 2. We have it in verses 17 through 25 of chapter 2. They trimmed their ways. Number two, they trimmed the Word. They trimmed the Word. And by the way, the ways came from the Word, did it not? So those really go together. They trimmed their ways, and they trimmed the Word, and they trimmed their worship. They trimmed their worship. Would you look at verses 6 and 7 again with me in Jeremiah chapter number 2? Number one, there's a truth. Every man longs to be loved. They were seeking attention and approval and acceptance. But we must never forget we have all of that in Jesus Christ. I don't need any of that from the world. The trimming, what were they trimming? They were trimming their ways and their Word and their worship. Look at verses 6 and 7. Neither said they, "Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination." Look at verse number 11. We read these Sunday. "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." And by the way, we've done that in America. We've changed the glory of God. We've traded it for education. We've traded it for entertainment. We've traded it for the almighty dollar. And by the way, none of that profits. It's only God Almighty. In verse number 12, he says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me." They trimmed their worship. Then look at verse number 27. Say, "Pastor, I don't see any worship in there." That's exactly right. There was no worship. Remember we read Sunday that the prophets and the priests and the pastors hadn't heard from God in ages, and they weren't even asking, "Where's God? Where is He? You know, we haven't heard from Him in a while. Where is He?" They weren't even asking because there was no worship. There was, let me back up. There was worship, but not to Jehovah. They were worshiping the false gods and the false idols of the other nations, the heathen nations. Verse 27, "Saying to a stock, Thou art my father, and to a stone, Thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, Arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of this, thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? A land of darkness?" Has God ever been that for us? No. Look at verse 31. He says, "O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Really, you have forgotten me that easily? Judah, Israel, you have forgotten the one who did everything for you that quickly? Verse 32, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Number one, the truth. Number two, the trimming. They trim their ways, the word, and their worship. We mentioned this Sunday night. I'll mention it and we'll go on to number three, but there is no reason tonight for us to trim our ways, to trim God's word, or to trim our worship. There's no reason. There's no reason for us to live halfway for God just because our family says, man, y'all, you go to church all the time. You talk about the Lord all the time. You're reading your Bible and studying all the time. And so we kind of cut back on that a little bit. We don't talk about the Lord as much around our family, and we don't talk about things that God has taught us around our family because we don't want them to think that we're weird. By the way, the ones who are weird are the ones who do not follow God's word. No reason to trim our ways. No reason to trim God's word. By the way, we don't have the right to trim God's word, do we? Will you take your Bibles and go to Revelation 22? And so when someone tries to take a passage like 1 Timothy 3 and just take it out of the Bible and say, you know what, if I want to be a pastor and I'm a lady, it's okay. If someone does that, they are directly going against Revelation chapter number 22 and the book of Deuteronomy as well. Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 18, the Bible says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. We're to be very careful that we don't take away or we don't add to what God's Word says. That we don't trim it. I started to say earlier, but there's a movement today in lots of different circles, and I don't know where it has started. I think it has gained momentum because of this feminization of our nation and even of our church culture. But there's this movement that is absolutely wrong on the biblical structure of the church. The biblical structure of the church, according to the Word of God, is that the church, Christ is the head, the pastor is to lead and shepherd, the deacons are to serve, and the congregation is to affirm. And we got a movement today that wants to buck against that because they don't like authority. And the main authority, I'll say this, if you're going to buck against any authority that God has placed over you, if kids buck against the authority of mom or dad, or if a wife bucks against the authority of her husband, or if an employee bucks against the authority of his employer, listen, what we are doing is ultimately bucking against God. Because He placed those authorities. That's His structure. And so when, when we have this movement that wants to buck against the biblical structure of the church, what they're ultimately doing is they're bucking against the authority of God Almighty. Now they would never say that, and they don't believe that at all. Because here's what has happened, and this is another reason, I think, for the movement. I think there are many elements that go into the reason for this movement, but I also think there have been shepherds and overseers and pastors who have abused the position that God has given them. And because of that, people buck against it. And at the same time, I also believe that there are individuals who don't understand the position that God has given the pastor to shepherd. See, here's the truth tonight. If a church doesn't want their pastor to shepherd them and to protect them, they're just looking for a hireling. They're just looking to pay a man to come and preach and then go home and be quiet. Right? That's really what they want. But if a church really wants a shepherd who's going to protect the flock, then hopefully they'll understand the biblical structure of the church. By the way, because I'm getting some funny looks right now, take your Bible and go to Acts chapter number 20. Would you go to Acts 20? And then we'll go back and we'll see number 3 and we'll be done tonight. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20, look at one verse. We've seen this verse recently. And I hope all of us put this to memory. But Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore." The Apostle Paul speaking to the elders, the overseers, the bishops, the pastors there in Ephesus. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." He said, you need to check yourselves first. You need to make sure that you're right first. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," notice this, "and to all the" what? "The flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you" what? "Overseers." To feed the church of God, and this is why it's so valuable. See, a hireling, when the going gets tough, he leaps over the wall and he runs away. But a true shepherd, when the going gets tough, he's not going to leave the sheep. And the Bible says in verse number 28, he says, "To feed the church of God," notice this, and this is why this is so important, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." And so listen, we don't need to trim anything. Whether it's biblical structure of the church, whether it's the pastor in 1 Timothy 3, the qualifications of a pastor. And by the way, we hit on that one point. A woman can't be a pastor. A woman can't be a pastor. Well, listen, a man who doesn't control his household shouldn't be a pastor either. Say, "Pastor, are you perfect on that?" No. But a man whose kids come into the house of God and run roughshod in the auditorium, he don't need to be a pastor. By the way, when we have missions conferences, we only get to see these missionaries for 3 or 4 days. One of the first things I look at is how their kids act. "Pastor, that's not fair." It's very fair. It's absolutely fair. That ought to be one of the... Because 1 Timothy 3 gives us the qualifications. That ought to be one of the first things we look at. Look back at Jeremiah chapter number 2, if you would. So what's your point, Pastor? We don't need to trim anything. I understand the truth is that there are times when we're seeking approval and we're seeking acceptance and we're seeking attention, but we must never forget we have all of that in Jesus Christ. We don't need that from the world. The trimming, they trimmed their ways, they trimmed the word, and they trimmed their worship. We don't need to trim any of that. By the way, we don't need to trim our worship. We don't need to trim what kind of music we use. By the way, in most churches today, that's the first thing that goes is the music. When the music goes, worldly, mark it down, it will not be long, everything else will go. Everything else will go. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse number 34, let me give you thirdly the tragedy. Number one, the truth. Number two, the trimming. Number three, the tragedy. We say it all the time. Who are the casualties most of the time? Who? The children. Look what the Bible says in verse 34. He says, also in thy skirts. And by the way, I don't believe that's a coincidence that you have trimming in verse 33 and skirts in verse 34. If a lady wants to get attention, what does she trim? She trims her skirts because she wants attention. I don't believe that's a coincidence. He says, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Who are the poor innocents? It's the children. I believe this is a reference to the sacrifice to Moloch. That they didn't listen to God, and they didn't listen and just serve Him and not have other gods. And so now, in order to be accepted, in order to be approved from these other nations, now they're sacrificing their own children to Moloch, where they would take their babies and the statue of Moloch, and he would have his hands out there, and these brass hands, and they would heat them up. And they would put the babies on the hands. No doubt, they would hear the screams of their own babies as they're cooked on those brazen hot hands. And before they're eventually pushed off of the hands to roll down into the belly of this god Moloch, where the fires are burning and the baby just burns up. And he says, also in thy skirts, he says, on thy clothing, because you have trimmed your ways, is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Can I tell you, with God's help, why I hope and pray I don't ever trim my ways? It's because of these young men that sit on these front pews on Sunday morning. And not just these front pews, but young men that sit across the auditorium and young ladies that sit across the auditorium, because I don't want them to be the tragedy of Maranatha Baptist Church and the pastor who stands behind the pulpit trimming their ways. And one day they're the casualties. Oh, no, 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 no. They're not going to burn. They're not going to burn in the belly of Moloch. But they're not going to learn the doctrine and the truth of God's Word that they ought to learn. So one day when they're 24, 25 years old and they grow up and they get married and they marry a young man or our young ladies marry, or excuse me, our young men marry a young lady and our young ladies marry the young men, and they're going to be blown about, as Ephesians 4 says, with every wind of doctrine. And they're going to be blown to this church and this church and this church, and they're going to listen to every podcast on YouTube, and they're going to listen to every charlatan on TBN, and they're going to listen to everything they hear. As long as it says the name Jesus, they're going to listen to it. And they're going to be blown about, never stable, never settled, never leading their own families to do that which is right according to God's Word. The truth. They were seeking attention. They were seeking approval. They were seeking acceptance. The trimming. What did they trim? They trimmed their ways. They trimmed God's Word. And they trimmed their worship. Then the tragedy. The children are always the casualties. The children are always the casualties. The blood of the souls of the poor innocent, the Bible says. The children are always the casualties. Who are the casualties today in our nation because we as adults have dropped the ball in so many ways. It's the kids. It's the generations coming behind us. They're always the casualties. Listen tonight, the length is perfect. We don't need to trim it. The length is perfect. God's word is perfect. God's word is true. We don't need to trim any of it. You don't need to trim your ways tonight to gain acceptance. I am complete in who? In Jesus Christ. My approval and my acceptance, I get that from Him. That's the only approval I need. But Pastor, boy, it's good to have somebody here, tangible, that can give us acceptance sometimes. Like, I don't disagree with that. But sometimes you don't ever get that. So you better be ready to be okay with His approval and with His acceptance. Because sometimes that's all you have. And by the way, that's enough. Father, thank You for the time You've given us tonight. Thank You for Your word. Father, help us to never forget the length is perfect. We don't need to trim anything. Father, thank You for these, Your dear people tonight who have come and who have faithfully and attentively listened tonight. And Father, I pray that You would strengthen Maranatha Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that this would be a place that would never, ever, ever trim her ways. That would never, ever, ever trim Your word. That would never, ever, ever trim our worship. Father, there might be a mom or a dad or some folks in here tonight, maybe some young folks, that would say, Lord, tonight, Lord, I want to make that commitment in my own heart. That one of these days when I become a father, I become a husband and a father, and when I become a wife and a mother, I want to lead my children according to Your word. I don't want to cut anything off. I don't want to trim. I don't want to cut any corners. I want to give them the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So Lord, I pray that that would be our hearts tonight. Help us as we pray. Hear us and answer us. Intercede for us, and we'll thank You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It's about